Alrighty, here comes Wooden Wagon. Teeny tiny lady coming in entirely. Oh, gee whiz. Sean put a bag of sand on top of her, Tom, to keep her in place because she doesn't need anybody to hold. That's not Sean.
What?
She's got holes on top of the pickle jar. She can't breathe through the big bag. The big bag of sand. Or that's rice.
Well,
she can breathe through that.
But, all you right. know, she kind of right. jumps around. It's kind of an unsteady ride, John.
But we're going to keep it as it is. By the way, Chris, jump out of your chair the way you do. Get over there and get her. But make sure she gets up on that bar stool. She's going to choose the letter of the day chosen by her, if she survives the ride. Down to one horse. Can't go into detail, Tom. You know about the other horse and what happened and Sean and the thing. And Bonneville has told us right now, which is best not to discuss where the remains are. Diving into the news. Changing the subject.
So we can't say super rating anymore?
No. Stop with that.
The only thing with a super rating around here is the Tom and Curly Show.
That's all right. Right. Thank you. That's the right thing to say. All right, let's see. QFC closes two stores. QFC stores are closing in Seattle because the city council knows better than their business owners there at QFC, knows better about how well they're doing in the market, and decided that they can afford to pay their workers $4 more because it's such a hazard to work there. You could die while working at the supermarket. So QFC comes along and says, okay, so you want us to raise and give everybody four extra dollars? And not so fast, basically.
Yes, although, so this is only two other stores. Like, there's a huge one up on Capitol Hill on Broadway. Then there's apparently, Chris was just telling us, this is a smaller one that's on 15th. There's a smaller one in Wedgwood. There's a big one, you know, on Holman Road here. So what QFC is doing is saying, yeah, we're not going to pay that extra $4 for the stores that are, you know, are more marginal profit centers, apparently. They're not shutting down. It's not like okay, fine, we're going to take our ball and go home for the entire chain. The argument that's being made against what QFC is doing for these two stores is that Kroger's, which owns them, has made billions over the pandemic, because grocery stores have done pretty well, and so they should put that money into their, you know, into their workers sort of shut down, because
how can even they make an argument? Because so what they're saying is, when times are good, the guy stocking the shelves should get a piece of that.
Well, because the reason the times are good is because we're in a pandemic, and they're considered essential workers that are more on the front lines, and so because of that, they should get a bit of that profit temporarily. This is not a $4. That's why it's not quite a minimum wage. It's just $4 additional to whatever you're making.
Why not? Why won't it be something that? Why can't the city council say, you know what? Keep giving it to them.
Well, no, they could. It could be for the duration of the pandemic, like a lot of these eviction holdoffs are. So it could be revived. What's interesting about this, in terms of a strategy, they had given, QFC gave their workers $2 raises initially, I think in March and April, for hazard pay or something, you know, the equivalent of that. And then they withdrew it in May. And so they've been trying, the union and the workers have been trying to get that $2 an hour back. I'm wondering if this is kind of in reaction. If they had, in effect, reinstalled the $2 or never taken it away, if that might have forestalled this $4 action. I don't know. But anyway, it's...
I don't even know how you make an argument, because... if you want us to talk about fair, then okay, the worker gets a chance when the price is, because you hear the Mascada and these others saying that record-breaking profits. Great. Okay. Then how about in 2017 when their sales sunk 1.2%? How about in 2018 where they didn't meet market predictions as well and their stock dropped and their sales were down? How about the fact overall that almost 45% of grocery stores since 1988 on to 2018 have lost about 40%? 45 to 48% of total sales because now it's gone to sort of specialty stores. Should the worker there benefit the upside and then also experience the downside? Or no, only the upside.
They do.
The city council is so smart. The amazing thing about minimum wage, there's two people, Bob and Mary. And Mary says, hey, Bob, you want to work for me? And Bob says, yeah, Mary, what are you paying? Mary says, I'm paying this. And the third person, the city council, which is smart, comes in and basically steals away Bob and Mary's right as sovereign citizens to make an agreement between themselves because the city council knows more. And they feel more. And they care more. So therefore, they turn around and say to Mary, you've got to give them $4 more. And Mary says, I can't afford that. I'm closing the store. So that's what's happened. So the two stores go away. And they're now trying to make it seem like, oh, no. This is just political. They're doing this to try to scare us. No, they're doing it because they can't afford it.
That's what the union, the thing is, they can afford, if they wanted to keep those stores afloat,
how?
They can afford
explain
it.
Explain it. Explain
because
it.
They've
explain
made $17 billion dollars in this last year, that more than they were expecting, so they could have easily taken that money and poured it back into their workers. But they didn't. They used
stop buybacks. Do you know that? Do you know? Okay, $17 billion. What did they do? So they're trying to
John,
get Kroger's
in $17.7 billion, but that's right. For Kroger and Walmart. It's a combination. So whatever the number is, it's the point that they've made so much money. They've profited from the pandemic situation. Some of the people that were helping them profit from it should benefit from it since they're on the front lines.
They paid them. It's the Bible story, right? And work for me, I'll pay you this.
That's right.
God.
And
it's,
just like that last example, when you gave, so when the stores weren't doing as well 2 years ago, I don't know if Kroger, I mean, we're talking about national chains here. We're talking about Kroger. It has to be over 500 employees. These national chains, how they handled their employees is they probably fired and they probably had to cut down on the amount of people that they hired. So that's how the market works.
God, I would love to talk to Teresa Mosqueda, who got $75,000 from the grocery store union, and ask her to explain to me Kroger's finances and have her tell me about how much money they're trying to put on the online business because they realize that's where the business is going. Or maybe she could talk to us about write-offs and write-downs and buybacks and stock because I'm sure she explains and she can understand all of that because she can make the arbitrary decision, and the rest of those city council members can, that $4 needs to be given to every single one of those people because for some reason they believe their life is in danger by working at a grocery store. Nuts.
The council did not consult with us at all on this. Had they asked, we would have told them that most of our stores in Seattle have seen decreased sales and profits for 2020. Many of them are losing money every day they're open.
Okay. By the way, it's not the pandemic that did it. It's the government shutdown that did it. The pandemic is a virus. The government's reaction is a lockdown. That's what caused the change in sales.
But they didn't lock down the grocery stores, John. In fact, the reason grocery sales are up is because so many restaurants were closed. So they were profiting. Now, that's an interesting stat. I wonder what she's quoting. Are other grocery stores benefiting more, like Trader Joe's and PCC? I find that baffling to think that QFC, the biggest chain, probably grocery chain around here, is not profiting when everybody in the grocery industry is.
What is happening in the grocery industry is the fact that you can go on Amazon and have the stuff delivered. So Amazon competing directly against, and they have a better sort of network. They have those things in place. Kroger's is trying to get the online thing going and being able to deliver it. They can't compete. They don't have the same sort of network in place. More
if
from
the city really was concerned about the safety, they would give us the support that we need to convince the governor to expedite vaccinations for essential workers. Instead, they're just requiring a $4 an hour increase, which doesn't do anything to help with safety.
Tammy Hedrick from the Washington, CEO of Washington Food Industries Association. So there you go.
Yeah, which is a lobby group for them. So Costco, Kroger and Walmart. That's the combined $17.7 billion profit. So I'm wondering if Kroger's the owners of QFC are not doing as well here as they are nationally. Doesn't make sense to me.
Two stores closed. I don't know how many employees get a chance. As Thomas Sowell likes to say, the true minimum wage is zero. So, by the way, Kroger said we're going to try to help you as much as possible. We close in April. Those neighborhoods, I guess, become food deserts now. I don't know what happens to
John, the
building.
The distance and the between 15th property. And Broadway is literally a four-minute walk. I mean, it's not that. To call Capitol Hill a food desert, I think, is a bit much. But okay. I take your point. Right.
That's what they always say, that then becomes a food desert. U-Haul study says people are moving out of Washington. They tally everything. They try to find out. And again, this is U-Haul. I don't know if you ever moved with a U-Haul. I have numerous times. So this is a certain group of people. This is when you can't afford to hire movers. You do the U-Haul, which is just a nightmare because they've got a governor on the engine, so you can't make it go any faster as you're driving down the highway with all of your crap. I remember the first time I actually used a U-Haul, Paula said to me, well, look at the bright side. At least we needed a U-Haul, because the first time we moved from Grand Junction to Champaign, Illinois, we moved everything in a 1986 Mercury Topaz and a 62 Volkswagen Bug. Everything. And we still had room for a cat. To give you some idea, we were traveling light in those days, Tom. So
yeah,
U-Haul has found that people have gone, used to be people who are coming to Seattle, and now they've dropped to, what, 34th or something?
36.
36.
We were in the top five.
Is that one year? We've lost that many? Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's an annual report. Now, the thing is, that makes a lot of sense, though. We have tons and tons of people that work in the high-tech industry that can now, you know, work from home. And if their home is elsewhere, a lot of them return to their roots outside, you know, Seattle or the state of Washington. I'm not sure the significance of this, but yes, we were in the top five just a year or two ago, and now we rank 36th. And this is just based purely on, this is not, as they say, there are no demographic numbers that the government can advance this early stages. But if you look at U-Hauls, Washington Policy Center decided to just look at U-Hauls, you know, moving out, we now rank 36th.
A little bit of a double standard. The conservatives are applauding a gun shop that when you go online, I guess they sell guns and ammo at Phoenix Ammunition. They said that they make you check a box whether or not you voted for Biden. If you said you did vote for Biden, they won't sell you ammunition. Joe Biden ran a campaign built on the most radical gun control platform a major party candidate ever has. This is according to the people that make the ammunition, on sale ammunitions. So therefore, they're trying to bankrupt our company. We just want to know who you voted for.
Yeah.
Conservatives, and by the way, yeah, good, screw them. But then the conservatives get upset and say, well, hold on, why is Facebook banning me? Well, it's a private company as well. They're allowed to do whatever they want. These guys are doing whatever they want, and they're stopping you from getting ammunition, or they're just getting publicity for their place. You could just lie and say that you voted for Trump, right?
Sure. The thing, by the way, I just want we ought to establish this happens to be in Michigan. And I would guess Michigan would be one of the states where this is the hottest. This is the capital that they invaded. They think of it as a dry run for what happened on January 6th. So the tempers are higher, my guess, in Michigan than ever. And so this company really feels like they are on the receiving end of a radical policy that's going to get rid of guns and ammunition. That's why they're doing this. And then, yes, so this is from Reason.com, right, John?
Yes, John.
So this is, so this is a good libertarian. A lot of people can kind of just conflate libertarianism and conservatives and Republicans, because they share at least half libertarians' philosophy dovetails nicely with conservatives and Republicans. But this is one of those examples. Libertarians are philosophically independent of both Democrats and Republicans. And I think you align yourself with this a lot, that you don't align yourself with either party. You align yourself with leave me alone. I get libertarian, meaning I get to do whatever I damn well please. And so what they're pointing out is the hypocrisy, this time on the right. They show it on the left as well. But yeah, this idea that, oh, that's good for them. We'll screw those Joe Biden people. We're not going to let them buy ammunition, since Joe Biden has an anti-gun policy in their mind. Then you're right. They just turn it around and say, okay, so all of you, you know, Republicans or conservatives, Second Amendment types. How do you justify, because they say it's a private company, we can do whatever we want, how do you justify your anger at Facebook and Twitter for kicking off conservative, suppose it's conservative voices, because after all, that indeed is the same kind of thing. It's a private company. They can do, yep, you know, whatever they want. So be true to the libertarian principle and accept both or condemn both, but don't be one and not the other.
Absolutely. By the way, Parler is back up again. That's the website that allows you to get on there, and they don't stop conservatives from sharing their thoughts. So that's the news.
Parler. We'll be talking about that next segment, I think, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to log back on again.
Okay, that's good. Because,
I don't do anything on there. Do you? Have you ever been on there?
On Parler? Yeah. I wouldn't know how to find it. I like the fact that it's French.
Okay. All righty. Well, yeah, Parler back up again. Plus, also, we'll talk about why you're not supposed to use the word Karen anymore.
I feel bad for all the Karens of the world. Out of nowhere, suddenly their name became anathema.
Tracy, your middle name is not Karen, is it?
No. Mm-mm. No.
Do you have any Karen friends?
No. I used to live on a Karen drive, though.
That counts. Oh,
okay. Does that count?
All right, you write to us at MyNorthWest.com. You text as well at 98973. Come on in through the State Roofing text line. We certainly do appreciate everybody's participation. Teeny tiny lady who lives in a pickle jar has got one job, and really only one job only, and that is to choose a letter of the day. Will it be you or you or you or you? It could be anyone at this point. It is Chris Martin, who's sitting in there taking over for Jacob, and he always looks like so sad when he sits there and reads the emails and text messages. It really takes a lot out of him, so help him out. Send it in, everybody. We love to hear from you. All right, Tom, Parler is back. Kind of, sort of. It was taken down on January 6th. The idea was that these guys, the 800 or some people that ran in there and jumped around and took selfies and screamed and yelled, and one person got shot and killed going through the window, unarmed woman. That Parler was the place that they organized and they all met, and they're all part of this, like, underground conspiracy. Glenn Greenwald did a study to find out that the people that had been arrested and that were there, very few of them did any planning on Parler. They did most of it on Facebook. But that aside, Parler was shut down, and then Amazon took them away. Apple took them away, and they weren't able to do anything. And I don't know how many people are on Parler, but they have no place to express their opinions. But today, Tom, I saw that just 3 hours ago, according to the piece from NBC, Parler is back, and isn't that exciting for everyone?
Well, it's sort of back. So I got excited when I heard that they were back, because I thought that meant that they had changed their ways and now met the minimum Amazon, I don't know what you call it, monitoring policy, but that's not the case at all, which might be more exciting, actually, for regular Parler users. And by the way, you're wondering how many users? According to Parler, they claim that they had 12 million users when they were shut down. So this is not a small site. But they are not, you know, so they were using Amazon support services, that's where they were kicked off. They were Amazon was hosting them. Amazon has not relinquished temporary ban, supposedly. No. They're using a Los Angeles-based cloud hosting company called SkySilk to return online. And they mentioned that they tried to go online. This is their first a day or two, and it's been a kind of a bumpy ride. They figured it'll take a while to get all the, you know, the infrastructure back up and running. But they are apparently up and running on the SkySilk, hosting company. Now, what I don't know is the significance of this is that Apple and Google removed their app from their app stores. I haven't heard that they're back in at, you know, on their app stores. So even, and then Amazon, after Apple and Google do that, Amazon says, hey, you know, we don't want to host you anymore. I don't know if by being hosted by SkySilk, it'll be easily accessible, those apps on Apple and Google, or not, if they're going to, refrain from putting them back on until they clean up their monitoring business. It could still be a while before you get 12 million users back. But I think the hardcore parlor users probably will come back immediately.
So Parler basically says that we're not going to be the judge and jury for the content. We certainly don't encourage, and we don't want hate and things like that, but we're not going to be the one that makes that determination. Let the community do this. This is kind of the sort of the same way that it was Mark Zuckerberg, perhaps wide-eyed Mark Zuckerberg, saying that people having the chance to communicate in a platform brings the world closer together, and they're able to share ideas. And that was the intent. They didn't want to get into the idea of starting to determine, well, you can't say this and you can say that, and this is right and this is wrong. Because once you start to get into there, boy, it really gets messy fast. And you can see it. That's why something like Parler has come up, to give the alternative to somebody so that they can express their ideas and they have a place. And now the free market steps in and allows people to say what they want to say. And perhaps they take some business away from Twitter. I don't know if they take anything away from Facebook, but people are tired of being judged by the liberals that run that tech, those tech giants. They don't want the standards to be priced on them.
But it wasn't so much the political stance as it was what they considered incitements to violence. That is what sort of tipped things over the edge for them. Now, you may not believe it, but say something like Facebook, they're trying to say, we're not arguing conservative liberal. What we are arguing against is anything. We have a social responsibility not to spread this kind of, incitement to violence. And the misinformation business, I'm assuming, is also germane. But the thing with Parler was that it was seen as there were people, the users on Parler were glorifying the riot on January 6th and stuff, and I think they thought that was a bridge too far. But we'll see, if there's any pressure, if they're bigger and better than ever on SkySilk, or if that's still kind of like not a strong enough hosting site.
The government is the proxy of the government shutting down your First Amendment because the government can't. But in effect, the government has a relationship that's cozy enough, or at least Facebook and Twitter would and Google would like to have that relationship be cozy enough, so that in effect, they, working for the federal government, can stop you from saying certain things because it's the safety thing. It's the idea that we need the world to be safe, so we're going to stop you from saying something. Again, the government's just basically kind of a wink and a nod, like, look, I'll tell you what, we won't restrict you. We won't try to break you up. We won't fine you. We won't do this or this, but can you do that for us? Can you stop that person from saying something? Can you stop somebody from using that word? If you could do that for us, that would be great. And that's kind of what I see happens and has been happening with the traditional tech sort of censorship that is happening there. So,
The thing is that the government is responding to the pressure on the users that don't like that. The people that are on Facebook don't like the way that Facebook has been letting anything and everything go. And that's why Facebook, for its own personal or, business reasons, want to show, we are a socially responsible company and we will prevent things that are like incitements to violence. So I don't think it's as much the heavy hand of government, except that the heavy hand of government represents the people, and you got people on the right and people on the left unhappy with some of the things that the tech companies have been allowing. And that's why there's been this kind of we will control ourselves so you don't come in and do it for us.
Well, no, not we will control ourselves. We will control political points of view that offend liberals. So we will stop
just as upset
from moving forward.
Josh Hawley is furious,
and rightfully so. Rightfully so, because they get censored. The on the left, they don't like what's being said, so they want it to be censored. You don't want to have a discussion with somebody. You want to be able to use the heckler's veto. You scream them down or stop them from talking. And that's what the left would like to do to the people that are on the right that are putting
things up on
social media. Inciting violence, that what does it mean to incite violence? You can't establish inciting violence. You can incite violence. You could say, when you see somebody from the Trump administration, you get up in their face. And you have a gasoline station or a restaurant, and you tell them they're not welcome here. Is that inciting violence? That's my best Maxine Waters. Are we inciting violence by telling people, you push up back on them? Yeah. You get up in their face and you push back on them. Is that a sign of inciting violence?
You know, it would be interesting to see how they monitor that. I think if the stream was nothing but that, which is what they were concerned about, what Parler was doing, then they might shut him down. Yeah.
But how about the fact that most of the people that did most of the planning for that idiotic move into the Capitol on the 6th of January were planning that on Facebook, not on Parler.
Then
Facebook should be taken down, right? Facebook, because that's where the planning took place.
Facebook does monitor it. What they monitor this stuff. So they're moderate this stuff. That means not just watch it, but actually not allow it or flag it for what it was. And Parler was prided itself on not flagging anything. So you could have, ISIS support or, right wing domestic
Black Lives Matter or Black Lives Matter wanting to shoot and kill police, that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think they'd approve of that either. They would on Parler, but not on the others because they have some kind of moderating. I don't know what it is, a monitoring board or control or something. So that's the key to the difference. And it wasn't up to snuff. We'll see if SkySilk benefits from this.
SkySilk, doesn't that seem like something that you don't really want to have on your browser history?
Hey, it's all about freedom, John.
That's right. Tracy Taylor, when you got a traffic for us. Here we go. Teeny tiny.
Hello.
All right. Give me a little bit of that mailman thing. Teeny tiny. You want to do mailman or you want to do letter of the day? What do you want to do? Teeny tiny?
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Oh, come on. No. Give me a little mailman.
Jumping the gun.
That's not fair. It's her big job, Tom.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me.
Okay.
I'm the mailman.
All right. And fade it. Okay, there. We'll get to letter of the day in just a little bit, but first let's take care of all the rest. Tom, here we go.
Okay, I guess we're starting off with me being back today. 253 writes in, please, for the love of God, let's hear that sweet spaghetti western walk-on music and Tommy Boy walk through that door. All right. Thank you.
There you go. Let's see, Parler, go look on Parler, John. I have an account there. It's absolutely amazing what it said on the website. It's not conservative speech. It's mostly conspiracy theories, hate speech, and a few general exceptions. If you want MEWE, much better platform, conservative speech. Okay, good.
All right. On the QFC's closing, 206, I'm a vendor that calls on all the QFCs in Seattle. Kroger is making record profits. The store managers are making record bonuses, but they won't pay the people who are on the floor taking care of the customers and being at risk for COVID.
Oh, no. 206, having more revenue during a pandemic doesn't mean having more profit. Operating costs have gone way up due to the extra safety measures.
Yeah, the article we talked about said it was rising profits, but fair enough. 253, how about the fact it's not the city council's place to tell businesses what to pay their employees?
Yes, it is. Oppressor is oppressed. 206, the fact that the grocery store workers get hazard pay. I'm in health care. I don't. That really ticks me off.
On the Inslee and schools opening advocacy, area code 253, what has really changed that has allowed the schools to open? Oh, I know. Who else wants to guess?
253, hello, Seattle liberals. Schools are reopening because Joe Biden's in the White House now. Don't kid yourself.
And 206, newsflash to Jay Inslee. It's not just kids from lower income areas that are suffering from school closure. Why were teachers not at the front of the list for vaccines? It's a form of child abuse, what he's doing.
Yeah, in Mercer Island, trying to get rid of the homeless. I'm a cop. King County now runs homeless stuff. Any city in King County can move a homeless person as long as there is a shelter bed available anywhere in the county. By the way, cops move problem people to other jurisdictions all the time.
Oh, very interesting. That's a good response. 360, rich equals elite. Elite equals different rules.
That's right from Marx. 360, laying your head down on the place doesn't make you a resident. I hear so many people still saying that Amazon is responsible for all the homelessness while ignoring the evidence that there are so many unhoused are from somewhere else.
Okay. Okay. Oop, teeny tiny. All right. Teeny, 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 teeny. Teeny. She's gone, Tom.
Oh, my God.
Teeny!
Should I go on?
Yeah, read it. I'll find her.
Go Teeny. On without her. Okay, this is about the streaker who made a bet to streak at the Super Bowl. Pull up your pants, take off your bra, and be a man? Wow. If I had a nickel, Larry in accounting.
That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
Didn't write no more.
Didn't write
back
no
down,
more.
Larry.
She left the bloom
wow,
hanging round my front door.
So Larry, though.
I know. Let's do another hour of that. Here we go.
You bet.